Good afternoon. My name is Simon, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the SNC-Lavalin Incorporated First Quarter 2010 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Or if you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. Mr. Jasmin, you may begin your conference.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us. I trust that you have received a copy of the first quarter results as well as the PowerPoint presentation to guide you through today's call. You can access both documents in the Investor Relations section of our website at snclavalin.com. During today's conference call, Pierre Duhaime, President and Chief Executive Officer, will highlight the first quarter results, and Gilles Laramé, Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer, will review the company's financial performance in greater detail. Following their presentations, you will have an opportunity to ask questions. Before we begin, I would like to remind listeners that, as detailed on slide number 3, certain statements made in these presentation may be forward-looking. Such comments represent management's best judgment and expectation as of today's date, are subject to certain risks, uncertainties, and assumptions, and cannot be guaranteed. I would now like to turn the conference over to Pierre Duhaime.
Thank you, Denis, and good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us this afternoon. We are doing this conference from Calgary, which is unusual, but we are very happy to be here. Before I focus on specific detail, let me start by saying that we are pleased with our first quarter results, and as they are in line with our 2010 expectations. Our cash position remains solid at $1.2 billion, and our backlog increased to a staggering $1.4 billion. We also see positive development in infrastructure and concession investment, as we were awarded the Stoney Trail concession contract and named preferred proponents for the McGill University Health Center. That being said, let's look at the presentation slide in detail. As highlighted on slide number 4, net income for the first quarter 2010 was $72 million compared to $77 million for the first quarter 2009. The lower net income mainly reflects lower net income in ICI due to lower level of revenue, partially offset by an overall increase in the gross margin to revenue ratio. For the first quarter 2010, revenue decreased to $1.4 billion compared to $1.6 billion for the same period in 2009, mainly reflecting lower revenues from packages and service activity. We still anticipated that revenue for 2010 would be higher than 2009, mainly due to package revenue, which are expected to be higher during the second half of 2010 compared to the same period in 2009. The company balance sheets remain solid with cash and cash equivalent of $1.2 billion at March 31, 2010. As you can see on slide number 5, the company's total revenue backlog for the 4 revenue categories, services, packages, operation and maintenance, and ICI, increased to a high of $11.4 billion at the end of March 2010, compared to $10.8 billion at the end of December 2009. And $9 billion at the end of March 2009, which represented an increase of $2.4 billion year over year. Revenue backlog from packages, operations and maintenance, and ICI was higher compared to the end of December and March 2009, while service backlog was lower. The March 2010 backlog includes notable additions such as an APC contract to design and build the southeast sections of Calgary's Stoney Trail Ring Road, an APC contract for SaskPower Boundary Dam Integrated Carbon Capture and Sequestration Project in Saskatchewan, an APC contract for the New Brunswick Ministry of Transportation for the rehabilitation of the Princess Margaret Bridge in Fredericton, New Brunswick, and a contract to design and build camp facility in Canada. Slide number 6 highlights the infrastructure concession investment development for the quarter. Chinook Roads Partnership, SNC-Lavalin's new 50-50 joint venture with Acciona, was awarded a contract by Alberta Transportation to design, build, operate, maintain, and partially finance the southeast section of Calgary-Stoney Trail Ring Road. Under this 30-year public-private partnership contract, Chinook Roads Partnership will design and build 25 kilometers of six-lane roads, including interchanges, flyover, and bridge structures. Once completed, the partnership will operate and maintain the road and other existing infrastructures for the duration of the 30-year contract. Construction has begun, and the road is scheduled to be open to traffic by the fall of 2013. As mentioned before, this EPC contract has been included in our March 2013 backlog. In addition, on April 1st, 2010, it was announced that McGill Health Infrastructure Group, a construction led by SNC-Lavalin with industry as a partner, was named the preferred proponent for the design, build, and maintenance of another important P3 in Montreal, the McGill University Health Center, an integrated healthcare research and teaching center that would be the largest facility of its kind in North America. This LEED Silver certified building will house 500 patient beds, all in single room, and include a unique, highly functional design. This project will be completed late 2010. The revenue backlog for this project will only be added upon finalization of agreement, which we expect in June. As you will note on slide number 7, we still have numerous opportunities in many sectors and countries. The infrastructure and environment sector continues to be an active market. We see opportunities particularly for buildings, hospitals, mass transit systems, roads, and water treatment and distribution facilities. The opportunities are worldwide. Most active markets in this segment for the company are currently Africa, Canada, Europe, and South America. We see also opportunity in India and in the Middle East. The power group continues to see opportunities for new hydro, nuclear, and gas-fired thermal generation plants, both in Canada and internationally. We also foresee a strong demand for upgrading and building new electrical transmission systems, mainly in North and now in South America. The chemical and petroleum group continue to pursue many opportunities, mainly in Africa, Canada, the Middle East, Russia, and South America. We see a resuming of activities in Canada, particularly in the West and also on the East Coast, and in the Middle East, mainly in Saudi Arabia. Russia, with our recent acquisition, also offers good opportunities, as do South America and North Africa, where we have been involved for many, many years. Our mining and metallurgy group is pursuing many opportunities worldwide, particularly in the field of aluminum, copper, gold, iron ore, and potash. Brazil remains a strong market, and Africa, Australia, and Canada are looking promising as well. We are seeing a rebound of activities which should result in an increase of projects by the end of the year. Our operation and maintenance group continues to develop its traditional market, mainly in Canada, and continues to pursue new projects with our engineering and construction division, such as the Calgary Stoney Trail Ring Road, which they will operate and maintain in joint venture with Acciona once completed. And finally, our infrastructure concession investment group has been very active in the past 12 months, and we saw the result recently with major announcements. They continue to be very active and are currently looking at many investment opportunities in Canada, France, and elsewhere. Overall, we are pleased with our first quarter results, our strong backlog, and our recent project awards, and we remain optimistic about the rest of the year. We continue to expect our net income at the end of this year to be as high or higher than 2009. I will now turn the conference to Gilles Laramé for the review of the financial results. Gilles?
Thank you, Pierre. Good afternoon, everyone. If we turn to slide number 9, looking at their consolidated income statement. First, as mentioned by Pierre, our net income was lower from 77.5 million to 71.9. If we look at the breakdown of net income excluding the ICI, it reduced by 14%. Likewise, on the total revenue side, the revenue were lower by 15%. The reduction in services was lower by 18%, where we passed from 560 million to 457 million. Many large services projects were lower activities were encountered and whereby project are starting to be nearing completion, which reflected the lower services activities. On the package side was lower, similar explanation, where we got some large projects that have been either completed or nearing completion. However, as stated in our press release, we are anticipating that the revenue for packages in the second half of 2010 will be higher than 2009. And in that regard, we continue to foresee that our total revenue for the year will be better than 2009. Looking at our gross margin is about the same level despite that 15% reduction of revenue. However, if we exclude the ICI, the gross margin is 218 million compared to 2009 of 231 million, representing a decrease of 6%. Not in line with the reduction of revenue of 15%, mainly explained by the overall increase of gross margin over revenue ratio in 2010 compared to 2009. Our selling and general and administrative expenses are slightly lower. Our interest and capital tax from ICI have been higher, mainly due to AltaLink, where was additional debt because of the capital expenditure program that AltaLink is going through. The interest and capital tax from other activities was higher from 0.3 million to 6.9 million, mainly to the debenture we issued in July of 2009, therefore affecting the first quarter of 2010 and was not reflected in 2009. Turning to slide number 10, where we see our activities by segment. Infrastructure and environment, our revenue were down mainly due to lower packages activity. And our operating income was also lower because of lower activities. However, our percentage of operating income over revenue remained strong at 13.1%, slightly lower than 2009, where both periods of 2010 and 2009 reflects favorable cost reforecast on certain major projects. Chemical and petroleum activities for services and packages were lower, and the performance, however, operating income was a positive one of 12.5 million in 2010, while it was a negative in 2009. As you may remember, we had a non-favorable cost forecast on a major package project. Power revenue were slightly lower, mainly due to package activities where certain projects have been nearing completion or have been completed. However, the profitability on our project overall has been better in 2010 compared to 2009, reflecting a higher operating income. Mining metallurgy, we saw a lower services revenue reflected by large projects that are starting to be completed, and therefore the revenue were lower, and consequently the operating income was lower as well. Other industry is about in line with 2009, and operation and maintenance despite lower revenue in Canada, we had overall better operating income because of better profitability on various contracts. The ICI activities, we had better performance in the ICI activity and also on the operating income side. Page 11, reflecting our balance sheet, reflects also our cash and cash equivalents, where we do have $1.2 billion of cash, and highlighting again our strong balance sheet that we do have. As we've disclosed in our MD&A for this quarter, again, we do have $800 million of free old cash. Turning to slide number 12, as Pierre mentioned, our total backlog revenue of $11.4 billion, when we look at it by our activities, we see that our services is at $1.4 billion, slight drop compared to December of 2009, however, a bigger drop when we compare to March 2009 at $1.52 billion. Our packages activities, on the other side, has been increasing to $4.5 billion, and when we look compared to a year ago, it was at $3.1 billion. And that, in the level of March 2010 of $4.5 billion, does not include the McGill University Health Center, as the project will only be added upon finalization of agreements. Our operation and maintenance backlog has also been increasing because of additional backlog on existing contracts, and as well as for the design and build of a camp in Canada. Turning to slide 13, as you can see, our backlog by our different segments, we saw the packages activities for infrastructure and environment going higher, and it reflects in particular the addition of the Stoney Trail revenue that we are expecting from this recently awarded concession. As well, we can see in the power segment, our packages went up, and in portion due to our South Power Boundary Dam project. This concludes my part of my presentation, and we open for questions.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone that in order to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Yuri Lynk with Canaccord. Your line is open.
Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon, Yuri.
Good afternoon, Yuri.
Thanks. Just a little more color, perhaps, on the revenues in the quarter. You entered the quarter with a packages backlog that was up about 20% year over year, but revenue was down. So I'm just wondering, what is there projects that are in backlog and haven't gotten off the ground yet, or just a little more color would be appreciated.
Well, Yuri, I will answer that one. It's normal to see a project to be slow to start, you know, even if it's a packages. So we record the progress on the project as we record the real physical progress. So the first few months are really service oriented, and there is very little construction the first few months. So that's why you don't see a big input on the revenue side, even if the backlog for the packages has been increasing at the end of 2009. But that's why we're also saying second half of 2010 with CDM.
Okay, that's helpful. On the guidance, does your guidance include the infrastructure concessions investments?
Yes, we are. When we're stating that we should be as high or higher, it includes infrastructure concessions.
And given that results in ICI are growing, earnings excluding ICI then should be could be below last year's levels?
At present moment, the only guidance we're giving is on the overall, and we're not in a position to say one or the other. Overall, based on what we do have, we foresee that we will be higher.
Okay.
Higher or as high.
Okay. What kind of conversations are you having with your mining and petrochemical clients at this point? Are any of them close to pulling the trigger on some projects, or is it still a case of timelines continuing to get pushed out? Are you seeing increased proposal and feed work on that side at all?
Well, I will go one by one. I will say in the oil and gas sector, chemical and petroleum, there is certainly a high activity right now in bidding. And the thing, however, on the bidding process right now is on packages more than on service. So the market right now here, at least in Canada, but also as well we see also in the Middle East, are very active right now in bidding on package, but less on services. On the M&M, it's more services, and I believe there is also a good activities there. Valley, I mentioned that before, is very active in South America, but also elsewhere. And we saw Valley very aggressive in buying in Guinea, in fact, this is a portion of Simandou. So Valley is active. B3 Billiton is active also outside of Australia. So we see activities in that regard, I must say, but service in that case.
In the Middle East, are you seeing, are the competitive conditions relatively the same as they've been over the last year or two, or are you seeing new or renewed competition from Koreans or other contractors?
Yeah, interesting enough, we see some, on some project where the Koreans are invited to bid now, they decline to bid, and we have seen also other companies declining to bid at this point of time. So the competition, yes, is still strong, but it looked like, and that was expected as well. Some company are now quite busy, and they will choose the bid they are doing. So competition is always difficult, but seems to get a bit more in order.
Okay, thanks, guys. I'll turn it over.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Paul Lechem with CIBC. Your line is open.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul.
I was wondering on the McGill University Hospital contract, if you have any sense of the timing when a contract will be signed?
Well, what we are waiting right now, Paul, is to finalize all the detail. And these P3 big projects are quite complex to close. So we hope to conclude everything by June. And only at that time, when the financial closing will be achieved, then we'll be recording the contract. But in the meantime, we are certainly looking to start construction, even if the contract is not totally signed.
I gotcha. In terms of your guidance for this year, what more do you need to do in order to actually make your guidance? Other than, do you need to sign up more work? Do you need more contract wins at this point? Assuming you finalize McGill, do you need more work to actually make the numbers for 2010? And if you just execute on what you have, can you get there?
Well, we always need more work, Paul. So we never say I don't need more work. We always need more work. But to get the result, I must say at this point of time we have the backlog for it. But there is always a smaller job that we sign every day, and these are important also. And that's the one we see, but they are not noticeable, but they are there as well. So saying zero new contract is not true, but they are not the major one.
Are there any assumptions in your guidance here? Like what do you need to actually do to make the guidance? And are you expecting more positive cost reforecasts in the numbers? Are you expecting an acquisition to make the numbers? Like, is there anything extraordinary in there that we should know about in order for you to make your guidance?
Nothing extraordinary, Paul.
Okay. Is there anything in particular that could derail you making stop you making your numbers for the year?
I mean, God could always do it, but I would say right now it's look, we are in good shape. What I'm pleased also is that we have been doing that quite well in the last three quarters. We are delivering a good project. We are managing well the result, and I'm quite positive about the outcome.
Okay. And last question, just in terms of you've spoken a lot in the commentary about major jobs coming to an end. Like, how should we think about your existing stable of jobs? Is there anything else that's imminently going to come to an end? And what major jobs can you talk about that are in the final phases?
Well, we are more now starting new job than completing job, I must say. So it looks like we have passed a cycle, and now we are more in the cycle to restart new job than finishing old job. But still, you know, Ambatovi is still ongoing, and we should complete Ambatovi by beginning of 2011, which is a big job in terms of revenue, and we still have quite a lot of people on that job. We mentioned also about the smelter, but these are really behind us. There is still people there, but they are small. So overall, most of our job is new job.
Okay, thanks.
We consider the backlog of packages compared to a year ago. We were at 3.1 billion, now we're at 4.5 billion, so 42% higher, and that does not include the CUSIN or the MUHC Miguel Hospital, and we'll include that when the final agreement will be reached. So you can see we have a big growth on the package side, and certainly that will come to the revenue, not necessarily in the coming quarter, but in the second half and thereafter. So as Pierre pointed out, certainly we're in a cycle where we are expecting to increase our revenue from packages.
Okay, just one final question maybe, if I can sneak it in. I mean, it seems to be that you're guiding for a much higher second half than the first. Should we expect Q2 to look similar to Q1 here, both in terms of top line and bottom line? Is it a significant ramp into the back half of the year?
I think there is a good point on saying next quarter we should not see necessarily a big ramp up on the revenue side, and you know, should be similarly to what we encounter in the first quarter, but in the second half you'll see a ramp up on the revenue side.
So that, I mean, is there a risk then that any slippage in projects can push out stuff beyond the end of the year, and you won't make the numbers just because of being able to execute stuff on time in the back half of the year?
We don't think so. I don't see any reason. It's not a question of weather. It's not a question of contract signatures. It's not a question of financing. So I believe what we forecast second half would be higher. That's we stick on that.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Bob.
Your next question comes from the line of Michael Tupholm. Your line is open.
Thanks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Good afternoon, Michael.
I wonder if you can provide any additional color on the favorable cost reforecasts you saw this quarter in the I&E segment.
It's like any other project. It's a project. There is more than one project. There is a few projects that are nearing completion, and whereby we're recording a revised cost forecast and bringing the positive news. So there's, again, we have a tendency to have risk and contingency, and whereby projects are nearing completion, the project manager feels more comfortable to reach the goal, and we have those being released.
So is it safe to assume then that with many of your projects now moving from the stage where you're nearing completion on a number of projects to in a couple of quarters ramping up, the likelihood of seeing more similar reforecasts is fairly low?
I think it's a fair assumption, despite there is some projects that are still ongoing and that will be completed throughout 2009, but I think it's a fair assumption. But, you know, given the number of projects we do have, and we go on a regular basis to do some cost reforecasting as part of the business, but in general, your comment is proper. But it does not preclude we could have some, for example, a change order from a client for something we've been asking for. And so there is bonuses also that could apply on certain projects. So, again, we're, you know, we touch wood, and I think the message we've been conveying over the last few quarters and even over a year now is that we do have on hand right now a very good project, and in that sense, we're looking forward in terms on the execution. We're not immune not to have a difficult project, but certainly we feel good with the project we do have on hand, and that they could still have some favorable reforecasting.
Okay. A big portion of the increase in the backlog on a sequential basis this quarter, total backlog for the entire company, was driven by the increase in the O&M backlog. And I guess one of the couple of explanations given for that increase, one of which was this contract for a camp or camp facilities, was wondering if you can provide a bit of additional information on what that contract is, and secondly, if there's any kind of a packages component to that as well.
No, it's all part of the O&M, and it's we cannot disclose it at the request of the client, otherwise we would have announced it, and there, in that regard, we have not issued any press release, and we cannot give precise information on about it.
Okay. And then question in terms of the M&M segment, appreciate that revenues were down, and that may be part of the whole picture there. But it looks also like margins were down. Improvement from Q4 when they were quite depressed, but certainly down year over year, and lower than the types of levels we'd seen historically. Is that simply a function of the lower activity levels that's causing the margins to be lower, or is there anything else going on there in that segment?
No, we must say there is a one project which has been driving down the margin because of the nature of the contract itself. We may see improvement, but this project is almost over now. So that's nothing else than this. It's one project, but the margin overall in M&M is as historical, except for one project.
Is that the same project that was affecting Q4 09 margins?
About that, yes. But like I said, that is almost over now.
Okay.
But that's for us. It's affect the percentage, but at the same time, it has been a good project for us because the volume has been very high.
Okay, that's great. Thanks for the color. I'll turn it over.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Mr. Tupholm is with TD Newcrest, by the way. Your next question comes from the line of Sarah O'Brien with RBC Capital Markets. Your line is open.
Hi, guys. Can you talk a little bit about, out of your freehold cash of $800 million, I mean, how much would you expect would be needed, or what's your comfort level of what you need to get into future ICI or P3 opportunities for 2010?
For sure that, MUHC will take a portion of it, but for sure that Stoney Trail is already accounted in the $800 million. So until the time everything is booked on the MUHC, we haven't reflected it. But we don't want necessarily to give the precise until it's completely announced, but we will still have a good level of freehold cash despite that significant project.
And, I mean, do you expect this is something that you need to hang on to based on, future projects to come? Like, this is sort of a new reality of how you get projects is by investing with them?
When you say investing with them, could you clarify what you mean? I don't understand.
Well, putting your own equity up.
For PPP, it's a market we're looking for. We have been looking for and stating it to the marketplace. Certainly, this quarter, we're very happy with the results of what is taking place, and it's a favorable outcome, and it's a market we want to be. There is business opportunities. So to say that we're obliged to put equity to get project, no, it's part of an activity, but we have the regular packages, we have the regular services, and as well the O&M. So P3s are not the only game in town, but certainly it was great news to be awarded two significant projects this quarter.
But Sarah, good afternoon, it's Pierre.
Hi.
Sarah, it's also true for other potential acquisitions which we're still looking at. So we need the cash. We talk about investing in concession. This is something. But we are in a market where having cash is very important, and it's opened a lot of opportunities worldwide, and we want to keep it that way.
Actually, just on that point, Pierre, can you comment like what kind of comfort level you would have getting into sizable transactions at this point?
Well, you mean what kind of transaction level we will be comfortable with?
Right, on an acquisition front, like on a...
Well, it depends if the way we will finance it, but certainly we said that before, you know, it could be of any size, but we are certainly looking at a major acquisition, but without putting at risk, you know, the fact that we have a balance sheet and we keep, you know, a good balance. But certainly, you know, we are talking, you know, a substantial acquisition and would be comfortable with it.
But okay.
Like a number, Sarah, I would prefer to hold on because there is many ways to finance such acquisitions. So I would refrain on that.
Okay. And then I just wondered, any progress on the Hassi-Messoud City and entering that into backlog? What are the remaining steps at this point?
Well, that's a question we stop now to be used with. Messoud has been there in the air for quite a long time. The overall situation there has been, and I think we talked last time, is the Sonatrach top management has been fired about 4 months ago, or about that. And the good news is, the new CEO has been appointed 4 or 5 days ago, and there is also a new management coming with him, of course. So we should see a resuming of business decision making process within Sonatrach, I would say in short time. And certainly, Hassi Messaoud is on top of the party. It has been approved by everybody. Every regulatory body in Algeria has been going through it, and it has been approved. So it's just waiting that final go-ahead from the Sonatrach. But having lost their management for a few months, that has been the cause of that delay.
Okay. And just in the oil sands, I think there was a comment that there's high level of activity, but mostly on packages. I guess we're hearing that package risk is something that's a bit new to the oil sands. Can you just comment on SNC's level of comfort getting into assuming productivity risk?
Yeah, you know, we have done in the past packages in the oil sand business, and Tucker Lake has been one of these. It was done on a lump sum basis for ASCII. So comfort level, certainly it's something we understand. We are in Canada. It's a bit predictable. We know the market here. The business level is not so high now. And normally we always join with the contractors, very reputable contractors locally, to help us to mitigate the labor and productivity issue.
Okay, so you would be open to exploring other opportunities, but right now it sounds like they're not huge in terms of that kind of risk.
We are totally open, and I think I said that earlier, Sarah. We are bidding right now on few packages here in Alberta and also in Middle East.
Okay, great.
We are the include the construction part.
Okay, maybe just the last one on Ambitovia. I know it's fee for service, but just wondered, if you do, or when you do, complete that on target, can you get a positive contingency fee on that, or is that it's just fee for service and that's the end of the deal?
In the case of Ambatovi, unfortunately, there is no real upside in terms of fee for services. The big upside would be for us, you know, as an investor, but certainly as a fee for services, there is no, on that specific project, there is no big upside.
Okay, perfect. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Frédéric Bastien with Raymond James. Your line is open.
Bonjour.
Bonjour, Frédéric.
Bonjour, Frédéric.
I was just wondering if you could tell us, with respect to investment concessions, whether the opportunities you're seeing right now are within Canada or you're seeing opportunities globally, and also wondering if you could give us a sense of whether you're seeing these opportunities come in infrastructure, power, or any other segments.
We have certainly a more focused attention to Canada, so certainly most of our concession that we're looking at, or prospective concession, are in Canada. But we do have in France, and we do have in other countries as well, but it's not as many as we do have in Canada. And I would say for bulk of it is infrastructure related.
Okay, thanks. That's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lizzie.
Your next question comes from the line of Claude Brou with BMO Capital Markets. Your line is open.
Thank you. I just want to come back for a second on Mbatovi. I mean, I know we've discussed it a lot. You've discussed it many times in the past, but can you just update, because some people maybe sometimes misunderstand, what are the risks that remain with this project? Because you're involved as an engineer, you're also providing equity, and you're also providing some financial guarantees. So what's left right now, and you know how things will evolve over the coming months as you complete the project?
Yeah. Divided in two. On the engineering point of view, engineering is done 100% almost, 99 point something. Procurement is done more than 97%. And construction is ongoing at more than 70%. And we should complete the construction and reach mechanical completion first quarter 2011. The exact date needs to be confirmed, but it's really first quarter 2011 we will reach a mechanical completion. And from mechanical completion, we have about 3 years to reach performance level of the plant. The risk for us at this point of time, and not only for us, but for the investor in the four partners in the project, is really that period of commissioning and ramping up the process plant to achieve at the end of 2013 level of performance as expected of the plant.
And what's the worst case scenario is at the end of 2013 you're not achieving the kind of performance that you expect, or that are minimum, for instance, to be achieved?
Well, there is a loan which is a kind of a bridge loan, project loan, which that loan will become, how we say that, you know, callable at the end of 2013 if for any reason the plan doesn't achieve its performance.
So you could have to repay that loan, is that?
Sorry, could you repeat, Paul, because here we have an issue.
Yeah, I know the sound's not that great. I mean, does it mean that at the end of 2013 you may have to repay that loan?
Well, it's at 2013 there is many opportunities. You know, you can refinance it, you can repay it, you can finance it by yourself. But that's one possibility, you know, which could happen. But it's certainly not the only one.
How big is the loan?
I think we have said that. The overall loan for the project, $2 billion.
And you have what? You had 5%, but I think you have more than that now.
So about 5%, and we give some guarantee. So, but overall, you know, it's not much more than, I think, equivalent to 6%, I think, if I'm right.
8%.
About 8%, equivalent to 8%.
Of that 2 billion.
Yeah.
And then you have a put to, I guess, sell your equity to your partners. That would be also in 2013, not before?
You're getting the detail here, Claude, but it's 2 years after 2013.
Okay.
There is a window there.
Okay. Okay, the other one, I mean, we haven't spoken about that for a while, and we're wondering if it's dead or it's still alive, but AECL, the nuclear industry in Canada, the Darlington power plant, what is the status right now?
The status didn't evolve much. It's still the Ontario need to replace its nuclear fleet. Canadian government want to sell the AECL. And at this point of time, the question is who is sitting down and discussing, you know, the construction of Darlington. So really, we are in a kind of in between a zone, and that's why we are saying we need to have a resolution. And Government of Ontario also say the same thing. We need to have a resolution on the future of the AECL as soon as possible.
Well, you don't seem to feel the pressure.
Well, it's here we are talking in months for the resolution, and we are talking in years and in almost a decade for the reactor. So it's why, you know, it doesn't seem to be precious. It's not the same timeline.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the last one that I have is you've talked about large acquisition, but you know, in recent years there was a lot of smaller acquisition, tuck-in acquisition that allow you to expand geographically and even your product line. Is there anything that you can see happening over the coming months in terms of smaller deals?
Yeah, we have certainly many ongoing, and some will be announced. But it's for us, we should continue to go year after year about 10 to 15 small acquisitions.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Pierre Lacroix with Desjardins Securities. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you very much. Just quickly on two questions. First, on the mining side, maybe you mentioned a little bit about that, but the trend is going down in terms of new bookings. We're now at around 140, and it's been down from almost 200 in middle of 2009, and we know that 2009 was not necessarily on when you could expect that to bottom and you see orders to come back.
The big difference between services and packages is when we book a contract for services, sometimes we don't book it completely because we know the customers need to go through a phase of approval before to approve the full investment, even if we have been awarded the EPCM. So we don't book necessarily everything we have been awarded, as we go. So it's you will see evolution. So even, let's say, even today, if we were not winning any more new contract, but just confirming the progress on the one we already have, you will see an increase in the backlog. But there is also, of course, a new contract we are going after, and that also should have an impact. To give you an example, we have been working for Vale in Brazil on the Carajás iron ore mine, which is a huge project, and that Carajás mine should go eventually, and we hope to be able to work on this job. We're already working on this job, but this has been so far only on the study level, and what we are looking now is to go on the next phase, which is the implementation level.
Small contract that could be announced, so you have a recovery on the booking side. Okay.
Yeah, and it's true. I'm talking here, and it's true. Metal price, it's and mining prices, they are strong. I mean, we cannot complain about the price level. Nickel, copper, iron ore is quite great, and suddenly we are very active in the phosphate, and even there, you know, we see project, you know, going forward.
In Russia, what is the stance of your partnership there? Any development as for upcoming projects? We know the Olympics is coming, and you know, any news on that side?
Well, news and no news. It's we have been concluding the agreement, so we have the MOU. Right now, we are suddenly we did the create the company, and we are working to develop the full business models for that new company, because it's a totally new model of business in Russia. So before to run, we are trying to establish, you know, properly the business base for that new company, and you need to take the time for this. But it's not the opportunity which are missing over there. In fact, you know, it's so huge, but it's really to have a good understanding what that company will do, how it will do it, and who will do it, and how the revenue will be accounted for. All these things still under discussion, even if we have created the company, but we need to develop the detail.
Mr. Lacroix, did you have anything else to add?
Oh, that's okay. Thank you.
And there are no further questions at this time. I turn the call back over to Mr. Jasme.
Thank you, everyone, for participating in today's conference call. We hope you will join us for next quarter conference call. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.